Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm buying tickets to Dweezil Zappa as we speak.
What?
I like Dweezil. He's a good guy.
He also owns one of Jimi Hendrix's old guitars.
Well, that's fantastic.
Are you in California or Pennsylvania?
I'm in Pennsylvania. Definitely in Pennsylvania. And you must be in New York City.
I am.
Well, good. How's your family?
Good.
How's my young friend who stands 6 foot 1 now, or how tall is he?
Almost about 6 feet.
That's great. Ah, there's Miss Beth.
Hello.
So, what interests or plagues you these days with respect to the unrelenting confusion of spiritual pursuit?
Francine.
Hi.
I have a question for you.
We love those.
The question is, in the pursuit of spirituality as we interpret it, is there any purpose to emotional reaction or reactivity?
Purpose to it? You mean as in Buddhist suppression or
Yes.
Sufi adulation?
Like what service does it provide for us in this journey?
What, having emotions, you mean?
Not just emotions, but emotional reactions.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, emotional reactions are not under our control. You can't really put them to any good use for a preferred outcome. I don't think that they're really a problem or a helpmate. But that's true of everything. Nothing is a problem, and nothing is a helpmate. Because you're not, on a journey of an individual with a particular set of skills or predilections, pursuing some kind of holy grail, right? You're just the present radiant Godhead, no matter how you feel about things or what your experience is, all 24/7. So nothing really can interfere with anything, and nothing can be a helpmate, because there's no place to be other than where you are or what this is right now. And the imagination that you're having an experience and that it's of a certain nature, and that you're in a position to qualify its nature and or improve upon its nature, is a myth. And I would say that as that myth subsides, that whatever this is or isn't has a chance to be seen or felt or encountered out from under the influence of presumption. That's how I've noticed it anyway. You know, people that make vows and commitments or become renunciates or whatever, nobody has an advantage. There's no point to the cave, but it doesn't mean you shouldn't go to a cave. There's no point to doing yoga, but stretch to your heart's content. You know, there's no point in eating a mono diet or becoming a vegan, but do it anyway. There's no point in being Thich Nhat Hanh or not, but you know, in this case, only one person can be, so he's stuck with it. You know,
As we are with this.
that's exactly right. As we are with this, you know, whatever this is, I don't remember being given a menu or a checklist. To say, hey, do you want to look like this? God no. Do you want to feel like this? God no. Do you want to have these parents? Fuck no. But, you know, you got what you got. I don't know. When's the last time you were interviewed?
Happening.
Really, I just don't remember being interviewed before I started, you know, wailing, coming down the chute. But, you know, welcome to our world. Stop crying. It never stops. Okay, I can do that. You know, hey, it's a real burden, and perhaps even an unimagined or unfelt burden. What psychiatric presumptions, emotive presumptions we make, you know, in the face of this absolute impossible impersonation. All you've got is an impossible impersonation, and you don't even know of whom or of what. You're kind of stuck with yourself. You can flail about as much as you want, you know, and do tapas, spiritual tapas, or Portuguese tapas, which is even better. And you're not gonna get anywhere. You're not leaving. You're not leaving what this is. You're not leaving who or what you are. No matter, you know, whether you're enlightened or not enlightened. That enlightenment is sold by racketeers as something you would benefit from, and therefore create an opportunity for you to part with your money, is a little bit suspect. Even though a bunch of people make a really good living doing that.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me that there's a misguidance to this pursuit, I'll call it, in that the promise from
Hoodlums and
these gods,
racketeers,
yes,
narcissistic posers.
the basic promise is that you're going to feel good or feel better than
Yeah.
you feel now.
Something like that. Or we come to these, you know, teachers, soothsayers, and snake oil salespersons motivated by amelioration, the promise of amelioration. Yeah, we're not really interested in freedom. Few are. We're more interested in amelioration. We pretend that we're interested in enlightenment when we're just interested in, you know, a few notches down on the misery. And so most of these fuckers that may or may not be enlightened, whatever that means, sell a few notches down on the misery. And we pay good money for it. Breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out. I smell like a flower. I fart like a cow. You know, what is it? What's the difference between dopamine and methane? One you can light. Yeah, you're better off with the methane because you could see your way in the dark. Dopamine's nobody's friend. I mean, you look at, Scott Killeby, on the airwaves in the internet space, is setting himself up as a successful addictions counselor to the stars. He wants you to know that he works with celebrities and assists them with addiction issues. So you'd be an idiot not to go to his center in Palm Springs or whatever the hell it is. And they'll do this kind of inquiry and that kind of inquiry and this kind of inquiry. And then they'll do chakra tapping, and then maybe they'll give you what do you call that green stuff when you put the grass through the blender? They'll give you a chlorophyll enema. And before you know it, you'll be free of addiction. And this is a so-called enlightened guy that has turned his realization, were he to have one, into an abuse of mercantilism. And he's speaking to the crowds, the minions, that are, suffering and bereft and self-hating and actively acting out with, one or a thousand addictive substances. So this is how he's posturing his, gift to
Why
humanity.
Why am I not hearing you?
I don't know. We can hear you. I mean, you can look at Bentinho Massaro's new, Infinity School, Sunfinity, because you're going to have the best life you ever had as long as you hang out and give him your money. So all of these merchants are creating, strategies for promising you things which are, kind of unnecessary to begin with. But we are so gullible, frightened, miserable, that we will turn to these superficial remedies and these racketeers from hell, these narcissistic racketeers from hell, so that we can participate in some kind of life improvement. Like I said, we're not interested really in liberation. We're interested in amelioration. And that's how come these fuckers get away with it and draw big crowds. But okay, so that's the, that's a crazy person's take on the spiritual scene today that you can find through Google, through YouTube, through the internet. Stan, your microphone's up real loud. Turn your mic down or something. I don't think he cares.
Is that his keyboard?
Yeah, it sounds like he's typing on my inner ear. I don't think he...
Chewbacca typing.
Yeah, really. What is your...
We have to hold up signs.
Yeah. I'm going to just tell him... I'm going to write to him because he's driving us crazy. Your mic
sound
is...
Like typing.
Way too high. And we can hear each other. Something like that. I don't know if it's going to help, but... Okay. Never mind. All right. Can you hear us now, Stan, or no?
Yeah, I can. What have you been talking about so far?
You! What an idiot you are when it comes to using computers.
Awesome!
Yeah. Don't worry, it's all been recorded. You can listen to it tomorrow.
What a fascinating topic.
Yeah, really. Oh, if it's about me, it's a fascinating topic. Well, it's a cut to the chase kind of approach, which is not palatable to most people. But the cut to the chase approach, someone might refer to that as the left-hand path. But, I prefer to touch myself ambidextrously. But if someone likes the left-hand path, that's cool. And that suggests that here now is what this is. I'm not saying I know what it is. And I'm not even that concerned in the way that I'm experiencing it. You see? You get fouled up when you discover that you're concerned with how you're experiencing what this is or isn't. And the moment you're concerned with how you're experiencing what this is or isn't, you're toast. You're a seeker. You're a check writer. You're a poser's you're a poser's fly. If the poser is a spider, you're a poser's fly. That's what happens. And that delusional proclivity is exactly right here and right now. That we take this to be something and to be something about me. Then I'm concerned about the nature of my present experience. I'm an instant authority on the quality of my present experience. I consent to the fact that I don't like my present experience, and now I'm a check writer. And that's how it works. To be free from that delusion, one has to be humorously, deadly serious about the present nature of impersonal, radiant arising. That's it. Then all the posers can just fuck off. Whose microphone's making a racket?
It's usually mine.
Yeah, it's yours. You've got a short in your mic. We're going to get you a headset.
But that didn't seem to help.
Oh, well, then we're just going to get you a new computer.
Yeah, I think it's a computer. I think it's the actual built-in. It's just my Shakti again. We talked about this. Nothing I can do about it.
All right. It's a Shakti thing. Get used to it.
or mute me.
Oh, that's okay then.
Yeah, really. If it's a Shakti thing, it's like a get out of jail free card.
My answer to everything nowadays. Well, that's just my
shopping. I don't think that one's going to fly at work.
Really?
I don't have a job.
So we can curiously, with, I would argue, fairly little effort, simply say or feel or whatever, don't even make a commitment. Hey, this experiencing has come about. It looks like the way I look. It feels like the way I feel. I don't have any control over it or anything. And this arising is doing itself. So why should I find myself being invested in how I feel about things? How I think about things, whether I'm successful or not? You know, I mean, you do have biological, strong biological proclivities, or let's call them preferences, you know, when you need air, you breathe. If you're thirsty, you get something to drink. If you're hungry and you can, you get something to eat. How many human beings are hungry but can't get something to eat? Or a glass of fresh water? Or a simple medicine if they have a headache? You know, I mean, we're absurdly privileged to be able to respond to our, call it, you know, biological demands or biological nuances. Pretty much by going to any CVS and getting anything and everything we need within walking distance. Or we got to, you know, you burn a few dinosaur legs to get there. You know, you put some dinosaur parts in your car and then you drive to the CVS to get whatever you need.
Mm-hmm.
It's strange. Hi, who's calling in? Who's that?
This is Frank from out in the far east.
Hello, Frank in the far east. Yeah, do you have a headset?
No, I don't have anything. I'm primitive.
It sounds that way.
I just have a phone.
All right, that's cool.
And I'll keep it. I don't like putting them up in my ear. So I put all my phones on speaker, and I put it up to my mouth. So.
No wonder we can hear you so well.
Yeah. Now, if only I had something worthwhile to say.
Thank God you don't. Otherwise, we'd have to listen to it.
You're very quick. That's good.
But if you find something worthwhile to say, please don't hesitate.
I did. Just chime in. I got it.
Okay, good. But feel free to put the phone down. It doesn't have to be up to your mouth when you're using it on speaker.
How's that? Is it good?
Yeah, get far away from the phone.
Maybe I'll go completely away.
Yeah, put the phone in the den and go sit in the kitchen.
I've got an idea. Let's all talk louder.
Yeah, really? Hey, I'm not spiritual yet. What do I do now? Self-realization for the hearing infirm.
So give me a report. What the hell have you guys accomplished in the first 15 minutes?
Well, what can we possibly accomplish without you being on the phone? Now that you're here, we can get serious about this.
All right. Has entered the phone wave.
Yeah, that's right. That's the way this works. We're just playing around with the consideration of one or two fundamental myths. That something is happening, and that something is happening to me.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, it's fairly simple.
Something happened to me.
Oh, well then you speak, because we don't know what the hell's going on.
I got humiliated.
Thank God.
And that's all I'm going to say about it.
Someone, a good friend, hopefully a good friend, took the liberty to humiliate you. Yeah, well, that's a win right there.
I have a compatible, something similar to that to report on.
Excellent.
I have totally insane clients. And one of my workers...
Yes.
The wife came out and started talking to him about the window or something moving. And he was totally enraged because nobody talks to me that way. So
wow.
He has a sense of who he is, and it can be injured.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
I thought...
That's right. Yeah, the moment that you take this to be something that's happening and happening to you, then you're a sitting duck for injury.
No, I don't really.
I don't know where the echo is coming from. Echo. Whose mic is on? Doing echo. It's you, Stan.
Is it me?
Yeah, it's you. Yeah, no more echo.
Everybody gets a turn.
Why do I have to have friends with shitty computers and crappy skills? Did I say that loud enough?
Oh, dog.
Oh God! How could this possibly pass for something like a satsang?
Is that echoing now?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's the little dog's energy. It's too much.
It could be the dog.
Mm.
If I were listening to this conversation,
Shakti,
as an aspirant. I would find some place else to go. This is bullshit. Nobody's going to get enlightened on this fucking call.
I'm sending you a check, Jeff.
I need it.
It didn't pay enough.
This is called Don't Quit Your Day Job Enlightenment. You can't give this shit away. I wish I had some kind of like mnemonic device, like the false sense of authorship, or, you know, some kind of exotic word like sassafras or Advaita. Then we could turn this into something. People would benefit from it.
Pretty loud. People upstairs.
Is it possible to contemplate the success of Awake?
Of course, you can contemplate.
What would the world look like?
Ah, well, you know, once you start piling up multiply complex contemplations, like as in a world, or like awake, or what the world, meaning the inhabitants of it, the primate inhabitants of it, how they might behave, you know, to the glorious benefit of all, were they awake, you know, is a science fiction novel.
It's more made up bullshit.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, this is arising, you could say, from moment to moment, not as a consequence of the arising that it did a moment ago.
That's right.
Yeah, and so what we call the world is like, according to whose design, you know, what consciousness? I mean, you could argue that everyone is acting just as they are in their so-called enlightened self-interest. And we have what it is that we have, socio-economically, socio-politically, spiritually. I mean, show me the person, show me the life that's being lived in a truly ideal or enviable manner. Nobody, I don't care how rich you are, how powerful you are, how beautiful you are, how much influence you have, how much, you know, how much live food you eat, whether you're a 75% live fooder or 100% live fooder, whether you're a physician, whether you have celebrity, notoriety, who cares? Your life is still a pile of shit.
And then
you know,
it ends.
Yeah, it doesn't end. It's an unsatisfying poser pile of shit. That includes all the gurus that we have, you know, enjoyed the company of. Really, it's true. You know, even Amici, she hugs 300 people a night. You know, and I don't know how much she makes. The Amici dolls are $200. You know, a coconut's $150. You know, a shawl costs $75. And so she's raking in a lot of money. She has hospitals and schools and politicians in her pocket. And, you know, she can make things happen all over the world, how much cash she has. Her life sucks too. You know, one thinks that the life of the avatar is an enviable destination. It's not. It's not. It's painful. It's crazy. You know, it's pure chaos. You can have the most profound altruistic interests the world has ever seen, and still the way that you conduct your life and the things that happen around your life are going to suck. They're going to be unrighteous. They're going to be untrue. People are going to get hurt. I don't care who you think you are. I don't, you know, you'll wonder, it's like if somebody really wants to come to, what would you call it? You know, the grace of autonomy, then you really have to give up the avatar. You have to give up the avatar. You have to walk away. As long as you're beholding to, you know, a miracle persona, an influential spiritual persona You're not living your own miracle. You're only living in the shadow of theirs. Who wants to live in the shadow of somebody? That's bad, Stan. Who wants to live? Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
Get a headset. They're only $22 at Staples. Who wants to live in the shadow of somebody else's miracle? You got to be kidding me.
Some people like the shadows.
I know. It's the best they can do. My hat's off to them. I'm not, you know, I don't want to put anybody down, but I'll put everybody down. Myself included. It's really a question of presence arising. I don't know where all the echo is coming from. Whoops. It might have been Frank. Yeah, that's what happens with open PCs and open telephones. The microphone picks up the speaker, and then the echoing gets loaded.
How's that? Testing.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very nice. Hey, nice headphones.
Thank you very much. They're rather large. I have large ears.
It's like that Saturday Night Live skit. It's like, hey, Brad, nice penis.
Haven't seen that one.
Oh, well, now that you said that, I'll put mine on too, just because, you know.
What, your penis?
Like everyone else.
Hey, this is a spiritual this is a spiritual exploration. This is AV mayhem. Yeah, so I don't know. Was anybody saying anything? I forgot.
You know, before I so rudely cut myself off, I actually got humiliated today, and it's very bizarre.
It's lovely.
Yeah. Well, not really, but yeah, it's a very interesting thing.
Oh, yeah, sure. Being made small is probably one of the best, you know, spiritual experiences you can have. Yeah, really.
Wow.
That's a good one. Being made small. Yeah.
It's worse than being empty.
Yeah, being empty is cool. Being small.
It sucks. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not very fun.
Yeah.
Well, it's okay. I mean, you know, we wear our heart, our vulnerability on our sleeve. We're subject to mishandling and humiliation and violation and enmeshment and abandonment, you know, from moment to moment. You know, if it makes sense that living with some kind of emotional or behavioral invulnerability is worthwhile, then, you know, one might go pursue that, right? They might apply themselves to Dzogchen or spiritual practices or samurai, you know, sword fighting to protect themselves from the disquietude of vulnerability. Hey, Bruce.
Hi, Bruce. Oh.
Yeah. We can see you, Bruce, but we can't hear you yet. Oh, your mic's turned off. Which may be a good thing. Here, let's see. You're unmuted.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Oh, they changed everything.
Yeah, they do.
Who's they?
Fuse.
Hey. Oh. New application. Cool.
Yeah. Huh. Arising without presumption, without taking it hostage, is a very slippery, perhaps nourishing miracle. That's its already, right, present nature. Arising is a multispectral miracle beyond imagination. Something, oh yeah. And our effort then, were we interested in making one, is to look, you know, kind of closely, just a little bit carefully at what could possibly be present in my thinking, in my experiencing, that blots out the transcendent nature of this arising and makes it into something about me. If there's a kernel to, you know, samsaric inclination or misery, it would be just that. Rather than going in pursuit of spiritual invulnerability, I would say it's more fruitful to hang out as an ordinary hanger-outer, loiterer, and see if there's anything that might be lurking in my present experience that says, oh, I know what this is. Ooh, I know what this is. And that's a subtle exploration, you know. It appears to take time, it unravels, you know, it's a peeling the onion kind of thing. But it's very powerful simply to hang out in an unencumbered way without any great expectation and look casually at the nature of myth that accompanies the radiant impersonal arising. There's no need to be clever about anything or draw attention to oneself, you know, unnecessarily. We're all maggot food. There's no need for a particularly miraculous experience or even you know, insight at all. If you don't take this hostage and you don't have any presumption about what it is, then you don't create the hubris of destination. and if you're insulted along the way, you're humiliated along the way, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. We don't have to occupy an idealized spiritual condition to make it look to others as if we are somehow above something transcendent. That's you know, so what? Yeah. Ramana Maharshi was, you know, very transcendent. He behaved transcendently, he looked transcendent. You know, they cut off his arm without anesthesia. He petted cows. Peacocks came to see him. You know, then he died and maggots ate his body.
And he wore underwear in public without being humiliated.
And he was able to wear underwear transcendentally without public humiliation. Maybe that's what we should do. That's easy. Yeah, Bruce has got that. He doesn't care about that.
Got that down.
Yeah, just, really. He's good. He's got his mankini.
My new one.
Is that the top or the bottom?
The whole fucking thing. You see it on?
They call that a basket catcher.
Wow. It is the whole thing.
Better than an orange rope.
Oh, yeah, really? Oh. Nice.
Is that Kevlar?
That's how I make my living.
Oh, my God. I didn't need to know that. It looks a little bit like Clockwork Orange.
Except worse.
Can someone please tell me what's so spiritual about this conversation? Come on, come on. Let's reel it in and find something out. Hey, let's find something out about something. That would be cool.
Then we could tell a story.
Yeah, really. We could tell a story. If I find something out about something, I could tell somebody about it. Good luck.
I'm gonna go back to watching your breath.
Yeah, good idea. You know, is it possible that this moment, as if it were one, does not have to be afflictive? That's a pretty simple question. I mean, it takes a lot of spiritual nonsense off the table. I just want to know if this moment, this one, could appear as it is already appearing without making any demands upon me or interviewing me, if this moment, which does not interview me, nor make any demands upon me, can this moment be non-afflictive? I don't know. That to me seems like all of the spiritual seeking could kind of get boiled down to that, you know? Because anything else is just going to be a fantasy anyway. And if affliction is appearing, whether that's the affliction of space or time or insufficiency or neediness or lack of spirituality or too much spirituality, then, you know, it's worth looking into it, right? Looking into the prevailing affliction. How did this prevailing affliction come about? What must I be believing in? How must I be interpreting the multispectral nature of experiencing to turn it into something and something about me? You know, all of which creates pride. Knowledge is pride. Presumption is pride. And we wander about as hopelessly prideful creatures, wishing and hoping not to suffer affliction. It's not going to work. It's just not. If you're wandering around through a radiant, multispectral, impersonal miracle as a creature, affliction is your best friend. We go to Thich Nhat Hanh, you know, and practice mindfulness and my beautiful eyes and my beautiful ears, you know, thinking that some kind of Asian style behavioral manipulation or eating slowly is going to actually relieve me from the pride of temporality. It's not. It's only going to create more of a nuisance. All of the Buddhists, it's just a nuisance. All of this idealized behavior that we try to adopt because somebody in a robe said, oh yeah, we'll do it this way. You know, Ratnaling, you know, the Buddhists up on the hill, it's a nuisance. You know, Ramana Maharshi's Who Am I? What does that turn out to be? It's a nuisance. It's nothing. If you really, really go, and it's not, and you don't have to go that far because it's right about now and all that there is. But if you go to the root of the presumption of experiencing, or that something's happening, or that it's happening about me, You can go right there, right here is the nuisance. This is the nuisance. You don't have to get involved in Buddhism or traveling lighter or the yoga of radiant presence or anything at all. Because right here, right now is, you know, the impersonal arising of nothing at all, which might be construed to you as a nuisance, which means you're the nuisance. And you're never, never going to survive not being a nuisance. Nobody can accomplish spiritual happiness, spiritual fulfillment. Because that would mean a nuisance got rid of a nuisance. But you can't. I mean, if you have to sit on a cushion for 40 years for that to make sense, you know, well, get started. Or not. You know, they don't tell you that when you sign up for the Vipassana retreat, you know, or you go to Patanjali Yoga or the eight limbs of that or the six of this or the 14 of that, you know, while they take your cash. They don't tell you, hey, look, pal, you're a nuisance. Nothing's going to work. Nothing's going to work. You can come to our yoga studio, but I just want to let you know ahead of time, nothing's going to work. Nobody says that. They all say, hey, you know, put your money in the basket and do the plow pose. You're going to start feeling better any day now. I don't think so. And then these horrific personalities that we develop after we have accomplished some amount of spiritual effort, spiritual work, we've been certified as something. Now we're like a nuisance with an attitude. It makes it worse. It's bad enough being a nuisance, let alone a nuisance with an attitude. A nuisance with a plan. Could you imagine? I'm already so fucked up. What would I do with a plan? Just make everything worse. So what to do?
What to do?
What to do? You're too late. And I think that, you know, our dear Frederick, what's his name? Carl Renz. I was mistaking him for a moment for Frederick Lenz. Frederick Lenz, you can remember, was that marvelously tall, crazy guy that he called himself Swami Rama. And he would do free, you know, theatrical presentations with his band called Zendo. And he would snooker everybody into some kind of weird psychiatric horse shit and get them all involved in spiritual multi-level marketing programs. I think finally he smartened up. He realized what an unbearable nuisance he was to himself, and he took his own life with a pistol to the head. That was a spiritual hero. Frederick Lenz was a spiritual hero. He came to see the unbearable nuisance of himself and took himself out with a pistol to the head. That's enlightenment.
That's how to know God.
Huh?
That's how to know God.
That's how to know, yeah, how to know God. You want a simple approach? How to know God. Pistol in mouth, pull trigger, instant Kensho. But we don't want to encourage, suicide here on the suicide hotline. That would be a bad thing. Here we are. This is everyone that's dialing in right now. This is the suicide hotline, and pay no attention to what was discussed just a few minutes ago. If you're contemplating suicide, please call us at this number, and we'll do our best to talk you out of it. I promise.
I doubt that last line.
Yeah, I know. Me too. But go for it. We weren't talking about Frederick Lenz, the spiritual hero. We were talking about Carl Renz, who's a different kind of creature altogether.
It was a nice digression, though.
Yeah, I think so. It worked for me. So Carl Renz, now he's a courageous spiritual teacher because he has the gift of, you know, pointing his students or admirers back to the impossibility of making any effort whatsoever. Why would you? Da-da-da. I don't know. What's going on? Here we are.
I'm looking up Carl Renz right now.
Okay.
You've never seen him, Stan?
No, I haven't.
Oh, man. He's so good to watch. He's so entertaining.
Huh.
Especially when he's drinking. I think he drinks sometimes, right?
I hope so.
I guess I'll just have to leave this meeting and go there.
Yes, you should. Go right away. If he we should all go. Let's just drop this and go get on the Carl Renz talk.
Either that, I guess I'll start drinking.
Maybe he'd take a check.
Yeah, or we could stay here and start drinking.
There we go.
Good solution. Everyone should have a unikini.
What's a unikini?
Whatever you had wrapped over your head a minute ago.
Oh.
A basket catcher, a mankini.
I was going to show you the wig that goes with it, but I didn't bring it downstairs yet.
Rats.
Rats.
I got a wig cut today.
Yeah. Hey, this is pretty spiritual. I'm banking it. I'm taking this all the way to the spiritual bank. Where people care about me and what I have to say.
That just doesn't happen to me.
I would like to take a delight in how insignificant I actually am. Yeah, I can count the people that would take a bullet for me. That would be zero.
Don't hold yourself in such high regard.
Yeah, you're right. I'm ready for a serious fall now. Yeah, does anyone have any topic they want to bring up? We're fresh out.
I'm still feeling humiliated.
you're still humiliated. All right, well, you want to process through your humiliation? We could take that on.
That's all right. This is so much.
You're enjoying it.
What's that?
The underwear story.
That's pretty humiliating. Maybe Bruce should talk.
I
should tell it while he wears a piece thing.
Yeah. I put it on and I went upstairs to show my wife. I have a red one that I wear for a different thing. And I said, this one's tight. And she said, it makes your dick look real small.
Oh my God.
And I said, well, I gotta fucking make a living. So someone's gonna pay the bills.
Would you tell your wife that was totally inappropriate?
Thing for sure.
I gotta they're gonna play this recording in all the Ramakrishna centers all over the world. Hey, that was fantastic. One guy's dick is too small, someone else has headphones. Who are these people?
I don't think you should record these. I don't think you should record these meetings, Chuck.
Really? What's the name of their cult? I want to join.
You're recording this? Oh yes, you are. Yes. Yeah. I don't want you looking back at that picture of me later on tonight.
No. There's no video that ends up anywhere. It's just all anyone's going to hear is that your dick is too small. That's not a problem.
No, I didn't say my dick is too small. I said it makes me look like my dick is too small.
All right. Well, you're covered then.
No, that's the problem.
So it's big.
I'm not covered.
Oh, see, I see.
You see, even illusion comes up in this context, you know?
Right.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
The optical illusion.
That's right. The optical illusion of my what is it called? Virility. The optical illusion of my virility.
I have to tell people before I do that song that things are bigger than they appear.
I see.
When wearing a tutu.
Good caveat. Any other topics?
I think we're good.
I thought I got enlightened
the other day. How's that?
Say again?
I thought I got enlightened.
Oh, dude, please tell us about that, because we're all so hungry for any sign of it at all. If you got something, please share.
No, it's worse. I thought I got something.
Oh.
And then let that.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Oh God.
I thought this is really it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you were right. It is.
No.
You probably thought something else about it a moment later, and it screwed it all up.
Yeah. No. It lasted a couple of days, so that's even worse.
Wow.
Oh. I hate when that happens. Yeah. A really, really good feeling comes over you for a couple of days. Yeah. I hate when that happens.
Especially when you're wearing a tutu.
Yeah. Because then you're all nervous. You're like, oh, man, is this real? Is it going to stay? What can I do to make it stay? As soon as you start feeling good, you get all nervous and weird.
Yeah.
You're better off just feeling kind of, you know, humdrum and insignificant and humiliated. You're safer that way.
At least I'm instantaneously humiliated.
Yeah, no, that's a good thing.
Where'd it go, Bruce?
Where did it go?
It.
What?
Capital
that N. Feeling, that enlightenment that you had.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a feeling. I thought it was true intimacy that comes and never goes away.
Okay.
But it went away.
Maybe it was the true intimacy that comes and kind of goes away.
Yeah, it was. It's exactly what it was.
That's cool. That's better than anything I've experienced.
You're right. That's exactly what it was. I feel better now.
Yeah, that's cool.
I hope you took a photo of it.
Yeah, in the red one. Well, I mean, let's take a shot at it. Here we are again. Why be disappointed in a true intimacy that came and went away? Why not see if we can, you know, rally it up to speed one more time?
Well, like, 'cause disappointment happens, that's all.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about now. You know, here, you're welcome to your disappointment, but let's refresh. Here we are. What the hell is this? Is this intimate? Is it not intimate? Is it something that comes and goes? we can work with what's present as, you know, the best evidence we have for anything. See if there's something lurking inside of us that's interested in assessment. That's interested in having a different feeling. You know, if there's that marvelous hint of seeking or consideration, if we're taking our present experience hostage and want to turn it into something and then qualify our experience of it in a way that more or less assures creaturehood. If we don't know what this is, and I don't mean like in a positive way not knowing what it is, because that's, you know, hubris again, right? Not knowing what this is kind of, it's quiet like a mouse. Quiet like a mouse, we don't know what this is. It's present, it's irrefutable, full of texture, multivalent, multispectral.
I love you, honey.
Bizarre in every, you know, in every way, or ordinary in every way. It doesn't matter. But if we don't know what it is, if we don't make it about me, if I don't qualify my present experience, then there's a certain kind of, I don't know, lusciousness that arises. A certain kind of, you know, innocence that's not busied or afflicted by a sense of self or a sense of self becoming or a sense of self even lining up for enlightenment. You know, the moment we line up for enlightenment, phew, you're jammed again.
You know, what's funny is that's exactly what happened last week. Was I got to the point where I was just like, fuck it all. It's not, nothing's, it just, I'm gonna have times when I feel like shit. And
yes.
And it's always gonna be like this, and I'm fine with that. And then, boom.
Yep. It's great. Like, what was the boom like?
Well, that's the thing. The boob. I don't know. I don't want to get into my stories, but anyway.
Yeah, no, it's cool. I mean, there is a kind of a boom. There is a shift in.
There was a shift, and then it was like, fuck, you know. Like,
yeah.
All of a sudden, yeah. It was like, you know. So then, of course, it's, you know, after a couple of days of that, it starts to go away, and the old feelings come back, and it's like, shit, why are you fucking with me? Just leave it.
Yeah. You start caring about stuff again, and you didn't even notice. You don't even notice how that launches.
Also, I mean, you're not used to feeling good. I'm used
yes.
to feeling,
yeah.
It's a yeah, habit.
It's unusual, right? No, it's all a great sign. I mean, look at the conditioning that we are, you could say we're a product of, you know. The curious geometry of delusion is so multifaceted. And it's both subtle and gross. You know, it's, is this happening? What's happening? I don't know what's happening. Is it happening to me? Well, yeah, it feels like it's happening to me because I can't get away from myself. Right? I can't get out from under the miracle of radiant pressure. Of arising. I can't escape the arising. I can't do anything about that thought is occurring or the quality of thought. I can't do anything about identification. I can't talk my way in or out of anything. Maybe a certain kind of relaxation or, I don't know, call it a surrender or a letting go. Occurs when we see that we can't talk our way or feel our way into or out of anything. In a sense, what difference does it make whether that whether that exploration or that intimacy lasts or doesn't last. You know, what's wrong with letting it have its way with us? Right? Rather than setting myself up as the aspirant where things can come and things can go. It's the interest, right? It's the interest that one has in the quality of their experience that is tantamount to or creates the sense of self. Interest creates self. Without interest, without holding present experiencing hostage, there is no self. And if there is no self, then there is no self that suffers. But to try to occupy this or idealize it is interest. I'm not sure where all that sound is coming from. There we go. We turned off the loud guy. If there's no interest from in the way that interest creates self, interest creates a creature in time. If that interest isn't tweaked, stimulated, then there truly is no self. Say again. So if I'm interested in occupying a condition, an enlightened condition, a spiritual condition, and I'm characterizing it by how I imagine I feel, well, I'm self again. There's the myth of durability by having an interest in the way I'm experiencing this present moment. And that interest actually, unlike what the Buddha had to say, because I think he was just kidding around anyway, this interest in present experiencing has nothing to do with desire, has nothing to do with attraction, and has nothing to do with aversion. Attraction and aversion are downstream. Those are myth that are the consequence of interest. There's no reason to get rid of anything. To make myself so special that I'm going to adopt spiritual practices, spiritual accomplishments, an idealized moral code. And another word you could use for interest, at least in this context, is, you know, what's referred to as, right, reification. Reification, reification, depending on your pronunciation. And what that suggests is, oh, this is, something's happening, this is about something, and this is about something that's happening to me. That's it. That is the genesis of insufficiency. You know, Wayne Lickerman likes to refer to this, you know, as the false sense of authorship, right? He says, hey, shit's happening, shit always happens, shit's not about anything, consciousness is all there is consciousness. You know, that's borrowed from Ramesh. And he says it's your false sense of authorship which places you in the picture as the doer, the decider, the receiver, and the experiencer. So the FSA is just kind of a, you know, it's a clever way. It's not really one that I'm fond of because it's a little too clever for the spontaneous expression of interest.
Hey, Bruce, did you start having that good time at the retreat, or was it after?
It was before I went to bed last night, after the party. I thought I woke up before I went to sleep.
Huh. Ooh. Yeah, stay on the lookout for it.
I'll keep you posted.
Nice, nice.
Did it go away overnight, or?
No, after I got home. You know, the thing about it was, you know, I went to sleep that night and I woke up to a, to my flight being canceled. And I had no idea what to do. Like, all I had was a phone. So I had to call my wife because she takes care of shit like that. But I got really, really, anxious about that, as you would, you know, if you don't know if you can make it home for work or whatever. But it was totally, it was totally okay. It was like I was totally in the anxiety. I wasn't, it still felt like there wasn't a me there. Felt like there was just anxiety. So for the next couple of days, that's how it felt. That's why I didn't think, oh, I'm just having another experience. It wasn't like I was in bliss for 2 days, you know. I just felt like there was no authorship, you know. There wasn't any more me, there was just everything else, which included anxiety. So after a couple of days being home, that started to fade and I started to feel the meanness of him. That's all.
Sounds like a nice run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a fantasy that eventually I'll be in that no meanness forever.
That's as good a fantasy as any.
It's me's ultimate fantasy.
That's right. That's the me's ultimate fantasy, to be right in no meanness forever.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
As long as me's having that fantasy, there's going to be a me.
It's a slippery bastard, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, you can see, you know, even from that, you know, most wonderful texture of experience, the noticing of an absence of me or an incarcerated self was felt by you.
Right, because who would notice it?
Clearly felt by you. Yeah. And, you know, that's strange. It's like, what is the nature of consciousness at all, that these miraculous qualities of, call it identification or irritability, right, hysteria even, are felt, and a most marvelous session lasting a day, 2, 3 days, 5 minutes of profound, unsullied and unsought relaxation can also occur and punctuate our experience. It's cool. What is it that's noticing or can self-evaluate? What is it that enjoys the texture and the, call it, absence of self? Or what is it that suffers the texture of identification, right? The texture of investment. The craving for an idealized feeling or an idealized condition, spiritual release, is not completely insane. I mean, thanks to the discrimination of a life invested or a life, you could say, dwelling in a profound relaxation, is noticed, is, let's say, it's real. So a discrimination does arise, right? A feeling tone arises. A confidence arises in how we behave when there's investment and fear and planning and manipulation and self-preservation, and how we feel when that's absent. It's not trivial. It's strange to contemplate the nature of one's present experience, you know, without a takeaway, without occupying experience from a point of view. Maybe there's something to be said about coming to this or being with through a lens of absolute simplicity. Even relaxed from the impulse of a self on the lookout for something, right? Doesn't the seeker become crazed with as a self on the lookout for something? And gets caught in the net of becoming, the net of assessment. The net of preference, the net of, you know, enlightenment as an annuity. An experiential annuity.
I don't mean to try to be helpful, but what else is going on besides disappointment?
Nothing. Nothing right now. I don't even think I'm disappointed anymore. I don't remember what that was all about. It's all gone.
That's fun. It's fun to be refreshed. It's kind of nice to breathe. Hang out. Nobody needs an explanation for anything, and no one has to be clever or take anything home. The myth of insufficiency and the myth of ameliorating insufficiency are, you know, deactivized. The myth of insufficiency and the myth of ending insufficiency are deactivated. It's real fun. I don't have a future. I can't say what's going to occur in it. I certainly don't want to screw up my future with something as trivial as enlightenment.
To not care about my future is my future goal.
Yeah, got it. Thank you. Right. Well put. Yeah, I remember these lovely and poignant moments with my dear guru Prahlad Brahmachari on his porch in India. And of course I was, you know, excruciatingly young and stupid and narcissistic, even more so than I am today. And I could not hardly relax from the nagging nuisance of myself. But, you know, upon reflection, I can kind of look back and feel that some of those moments were, right, brilliantly awake and brilliantly intimate and brilliantly conveyed just as they were. It's like, oh, well, maybe that's how this works, you know? You just hang out. You loiter with the best of them. You don't try to turn anything into anything. I don't even know if I would, you know, characterize it as noticing. Noticing sounds like, you know, interest to me. It sounds like a thing to do. To be, you know, occupied by how miraculous this is in contrast to how congested I might feel. That's the radiant approach, right? The radiant approach is, wow, this is unbelievable. And that's a miracle too. It's marvelous too. It might be just as valuable, you know, not to deploy. Don't even engage. That doesn't mean hide out in a cave or isolate. It just means you don't create the imagination of a puppy dog self that's trying to turn this into something. Make it better. Any closing remarks before we depart?
What to do?
What to do? You're too late.
I heard for a while Peter was doing that a lot. He was saying what to do, and one day I was surfing the internet. Or more enlightened YouTubes.
Yes.
And I came across him, Carl, and I was just watching him for a while and out of him. And then all of a sudden he said, what to do? And I was like, there it is.
I'll try to come up with some bylaws for Seekers Anonymous by next week.
Oh, God, we need them. Because we are out of control.
I will nothing, as usual.
Hi, everybody.
Suzanne.
Hi there. Suzanne. Suzanne.
Oh, I missed it, everybody.
We miss you, too. You're a disembodied voice.
I kind of strayed from the flock a little last weekend.
Uh-huh. Well, we noticed your absence, and it was painful.
No, I Saturday, I ended up going to some sort of thing where enlightened people spoke.
You went to an enlightened person's program?
Oh. Yeah, there were people speaking there, one of which we know, and I guess she's enlightened now. So.
Oh God, are you? Are you at liberty to say who it was? We're so jealous. I can. Nobody can understand a word you're saying. Try it again. We're not laughing at you. We're laughing because you are so miraculously unintelligible. We will never benefit from your story.
We'll never find out.
We'll never find out.
The whole punchline is
Would you do me a favor? Would you please climb a cell tower and then tell us the story?
I can try my iPad.
Do something. Your Bluetooth's breaking up.
Okay, hold on.
We got to get to the bottom of this.
I feel like I'm in Interstellar. I'm just going into a wormhole.
I don't know what you guys are complaining about. I can understand everything she says.
You're from her planet.
You just gotta listen to the underlying messages.
Sorry.
I think it's because we don't wear tutus and onesies.
That's right.
It's because you're from Uranus.
Oh, there you are.
Wait.
And there's your IT. There's your IT team.
The Hitman.
Everyone should have their own personal IT team.
No, that's the picture. Yeah.
God, we are so dying for gossip. Please.
Hurry. Recorded.
Climbing the tower.
I don't know how we ever get anything done. We are such Luddites. All right, we can hear you now, I think.
What didn't you hear?
We didn't hear any of it. The only thing you said is you strayed from the flock. You went to a program on Saturday where enlightened personages were speaking.
Someone which we knew.
Someone that we know, and we're dying to find out what the hell happened.
Well, it's funny because I've decided that listening to enlightenment stories is like some sort of pornography.
And I'm down with that.
Yeah. It was the person who went to the shamanic dream thing, that person. And she
okay.
was... Well, I guess she's enlightened.
But I see.
There was, I guess they were Richard Rose people.
Yeah, that's the SIG group, yeah.
Yeah, they were there. So there was some woman from Ireland, and then Gary Weber was there talking about neuroscience and the brain and how the default mode network gets inhibited and that, I don't know, creates
exactly.
something.
Wow, really? And so this was, what was the name of this event?
I don't even know how I ended up there. I'm not even sure.
It was the Confusion Conference, 2014.
Yeah. Well, because it was on the main line.
Was it held at that yoga studio where they all go? At Manioc?
It was Bryn Mawr.
Oh, yeah, Bryn Mawr. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, did you come away with deeper understanding or at least a little bit of envy for the enlightened people that were there?
Well, it was a good time to practice my Buddhist mindfulness of bitterness.
Yeah, got it. Definitely. Yeah.
I became a quantumist with my own, choking on my own bitterness. So.
Sweet.
Bitter kitten again.
I transmuted it into, you know, flow.
I hope you had to pay a lot for it.
Too much. Yeah.
Too much?
Too much, I think. Well, I didn't know what I was getting into. I thought I was just going to a talk, and then they shook you down for money, and then they wanted donations on top of that.
But... sounds like enlightened people to me.
Yep,
that's correct. Yeah, they invite you to a free thing, and then they shake you down. Right on schedule.
Buy another t-shirt.
What's that?
Buy another t-shirt.
Yeah. So anyway, you were gone. So what was I supposed to do? I had to do something.
That's how I feel. I have to do something.
So I missed a lot of what you guys were talking about, but you always feel like I'm special ed or something. No offense to special ed or anything, but
right. I don't think it was all that lofty.
Yeah,
it was pretty special ed actually.
Yeah, it wasn't too lofty. No. But I sure would like to get my hands on some of those inhibitors you were talking about.
Mm. Yeah, I kind of challenged them a little, though. I mean, I don't know where it came from, but...
cool.
Yeah. Isn't there a little more mystery to it than that? And...
nice.
Yeah.
What did he do with it?
He was talking about people with like ADHD and OCD and how they were, because they can't shut that default mode network off, that,
right,
you know, that they weren't getting to a place where there was any kind of spaciousness, I guess, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
And I don't remember exactly what I said, but I was basically, I think I said something like, so that means that then they're too handicapped to ever experience.
Nice. Good question.
And he said they are handicapped. And I said, well, not functionally, but I mean spiritually. And anyway, that's what he said. So he's coming from that neuroscience place, I guess. But
right.
By coming to Night Sky Sangha, I've realized that's all a bunch of bullshit, too, so.
Well, good. Then our high fees and high cost of participation has been of some service to you.
Mm-hmm. I've been brainwashed, so. I'm highly suggestible.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we're all that way. Highly suggestible. Well, I'm glad that that our friend from Bryn Mawr is enlightened and traveling lighter.
Yeah.
Is that the chick with the dreadlocks you're talking about?
Yes.
Really?
Well, we could afford to be generous towards, you know, others and wish them the best in their journey and inhabitation of the enlightened condition.
And yeah, I hear for a foot massage.
Oh, yeah, sure. I hear you.
Quietly seethe in envy and indignation.
Yeah, I'm only partly being facetious about my bitterness.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's good.
You should give a talk called Bitter Kitten.
Bitter Kitten.
I'll come.
Well, I think we should put on our own conference and see if we can attract a crowd. You know, fuck you. Fuck you, fuck me, fuck this.
I can't talk about enlightenment, but I'll wear my tutu.
Nice. Sure to draw a crowd.
For onesies. So.
Well, thank you all for joining our little conversation this evening. So much fun. And we look forward to doing it again sometime, maybe a week from now. Who knows?
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Thank you. Bye. Thank you.